shine a light on me. It's a midnight special. Shine a heaven loving light on me.
Hello and welcome to H-Town Rewind. My name's Josh.
And this is David.
And we do the show H-Town Rewind, which is the history of Houston. And what do we count as Houston, David?
Galveston?
Sure.
Beaumont?
Maybe.
Austin?
No. Never Austin.
Katy?
Hello, Katy.
Dallas?
No, never, no. Never. Don't even say that again.
No, never Dallas.
Yeah. You can apologize off mic later.
I will not.
So before we get the show started properly, David, I'd like to say, again, we're the show about Houston history. We do this out of chronological order. We do it the way we want to do it. I do feel obligated to give out a shout-out, if I may.
Please do, yeah.
We have a lovely thumbnail on our podcast, if you click it on Spotify or YouTube.
MySpace. Are we on MySpace yet?
I think MySpace might be dead.
Okay, sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
All right.
Miss Crystal Price. She is a graphic designer in the Houston, Missouri City, Sugar Land area. And she does great work. So you can find her on Nextdoor, Crystal Price, spelled the regular way. And David.
Wait, Crystal, C-R-Y-S-T-A-L?
Yes, sir.
Like Crystal Lake.
Like Crystal Lake and Price, like you owe me money.
Oh, I like the Crystal Lake reference. Sorry, we're also horror fans.
We are. And it's not Friday the 13th, though that just happened.
Yes.
It is June 16th. We are in baseball season. The Astros just cleared the Tigers.
They swept them.
Swept them.
I don't know what clear means.
I don't know either. Okay. You son of a gun.
This is going to be a good one.
So we want to talk about the history of baseball, don't we?
Yes, we do.
In Houston.
In general or in Houston?
In Houston.
Or both. Because, excuse me, that's edited out later. All right, so do we want a baseball banter? That's what's in the script.
Baseball banter? I just did the baseball banter.
Oh, that was banter.
Yeah, I just mentioned that the Astros are doing really well.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like banter, who would be the greatest pitcher in the dead ball era that's around today.
We can do that. What's your opinion?
Let's get in that in a bit.
All right.
All right, so here's where I kind of corrected you and I pushed back a little bit. If you talk about the history of baseball and you talk about the history of baseball in Houston, they are very, very similar in that baseball, as we understand it as a sport, been around since the Civil War. Our understanding it would kind of go with post-Civil War up until 1920 as like the rudimentary, really early, let's build our foundations, let's build those rules, things. But the early years of baseball, then you've got 1920 to 1964, then you got 1964 to probably present as far as like different eras. So baseball and Houston cover all of those areas.
And can we talk a little bit about, like, I always learn baseball starts, quote-unquote, with Abner Doubleday in the Civil War. That's probably not quite correct, is it?
No, I've been to Cooperstown, actually. I've seen Doubleday Park, or the park that's named after him. No, it's not necessarily true. You can't say this one thing. Baseball's history is no different than any other history. You can't say this, what? Oh, you can't say this one thing. This one thing led to this, therefore we have this. It was hundreds of different things. It was the evolution of bat meets ball throughout human history. You've got rounders, then you've got cricket, you've got all these different influences. That's what I say. The idea of baseball at the end of the Civil War is very, very different than what we would understand today. And I would like to, if I may, didn't mean to rhyme there, let's talk about the earliest version of baseball in Houston.
Well, before we get there, David, should we go backwards in order for the sake of the people listening?
What?
Who is Houston's professional baseball team?
Right now? You mean explain things to people instead of just run right through it and go right to the history and then come up to the present day? Start at the present and then go back to the back, but then maybe the middle, ending up eventually at the end.
I think for this one, that's the way to go.
As far as I can tell today, the Houston area is represented in professional baseball with the, Major League Professional Baseball with the Houston Astros.
Not counting the Sugarland Space Cowboys.
Well, those are Major League Baseballs, but those are like AAA affiliate teams.
Yeah.
So I'm going to count the one Astros team, but then we also have the Sugarland Space Cowboys, also known as the Sugarland Skeeters.
Yeah, they changed the name, and that's a whole...
A Space Cowboy is so cool. It is so cool. Like, you don't even have to get the reference. You just think that's a cool name. It's yeah. Space City, right?
You know, some people call me the Space Cowboy.
No, they call you Maurice.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Wow, wow. But no, it makes perfect sense. Like, it, you know, it's when you want it to be, Houston can be Clutch City. When you want it to be, Houston can be Space City. The Astros combine that. Space Cowboy just brings in the cowboy nature of Houston, Texas history, along with Space City.
And on some days, we are Choke City.
Well, yes, but that's, you know, I'm going to talk about the Oilers because I think that's where you're going. I am going to talk about a little bit of Houston baseball, football, basketball, and hockey today. Right. And since I may, you will notice that one trend runs through Houston history. At all times, there is baseball. Football comes and goes, and I'm very sorry to say it that way, but the Oilers left us, guys. They're not coming back. The Comets left. They're not coming back. The Rockets didn't start here. They started in San Diego, yeah. Which is German. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, that's
fine. Let's talk about Houston hockey.
They
made a great run with the Arrows in the 80s. Sold, you know, tickets and banners and all that stuff, but
the ice melted.
Well, you know, in 1980, 1982, that argument could be made. Oh, wait, no, it couldn't because there's been an ice rink in the Galleria forever. And that trend is nominally by the wayside now. I mean, you've got championship teams in Dallas, Miami, Carolina, et al., right? So baseball is always there. In one form or another, we'll always have professional baseball in Houston. Always have, always will.
I've always had this probably isn't fair. I always thought baseball is like a northern sport and football was the southern sport. Is that not fair?
Why?
Because of the weather. Yeah.
Because of the weather.
And populations.
I would say baseball is more of a, I wouldn't say northern, I would say Rust Belt, Southern California, all the way over to the Carolinas, south to Florida. It's weather. You have basketball and you have hockey in the north.
Yeah.
Because your climate sustains us, plus you're indoors for 6 months a year. You don't need that with baseball. You don't need that with football. So, let's go back in time.
So, we talked about the Astros.
We did.
What were the Astros before they were the Astros?
The Colt 45s. Houston Colt 45s.
And do we recollect when that started?
1960s, when the city got its permit for a baseball team. Well, let's see. Yeah. Houston was awarded its first Major League expansion team in the National League on October 17, 1960. In 1961, the Houston Sports Authority purchased the Buffs, then playing in the American Association. They were the minor league team that was playing in Houston. And older fans, older listeners, if you remember the furniture store, Fingers Furniture, that location was where the Houston Buffs played their home games. And before they tore it down, you could actually still see home plate. I've seen it. It was pretty cool.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah. But so the Astros their team began with 45s in 1962, and then in 65 would become the Astros. I can't imagine there would be any backlash to naming a professional sports organization after a firearm, but apparently there was pushback back in the 60s. So
I would still say the Astros is the better name.
I think the Astros is the better name too. It's a bit more forward thinking, right?
And a bit more specific to the region,
and a bit less violent-y.
And a bit less
violent. A bit less gunsy. Okay, so now I'm going to read an article, Sports and Recreation part. This is literally just recreation and the Civil War in Houston. That's what the article talks about. So on April 11, 1861, which would be just a little over 100 years before the 45s came around, the Weekly Telegraph announced the creation of a baseball club. I'm going to do this in my best 1861.
Ah, voice. Yes, eh?
That
was that right?
Okay. No. A meeting for the purpose of organizing a baseball club held over J.H. Evans's store after the organization of the meeting and the adoption of the name of the Houston Baseball Club. A ballot was had for permanent officers with the following result. President F.A. Rice. Does that name sound familiar?
I think I might know who that is.
Okay. Vice President E. H. Cushing.
Peter Cushing. It's not Peter. That was a joke. That was a joke for our more literal listeners.
Peter Cushing played Grand Moff Tarkin in 1977 Star Wars, and then again in Rogue One.
And I think it was in every Hammer
Every Hammer horror film.
Yes, yes.
Secretary W.H. Campbell?
Bruce Campbell. No relation.
I'm going through this. Treasurer H.J. Evans, Corresponding Secretary John S. Clute, Directors G.A. Ellsworth, J.C. Baldwin, and C.C. Clute. The players agreed to be on hand at 5 o'clock on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings, weather permitting, their air quotes there, for, air quotes, field exercise in Academy Square.
Did they use air quotes different than we do?
I wonder if Academy Square would have anything to do with Rice Academy.
Well, you did some research on this, David, didn't you?
Not really.
Oh, I thought we assumed it was Rice.
No, it is Rice. I know that because that was the original name. Rice Academy was the area where Rice Village is today.
So when I said you did a little bit of research.
I already knew it.
That, there you go.
That, okay.
There you go.
All right, here we go.
What's a Brazilian ape? I'm sorry, I'm reading over your shoulder.
Okay. Well, that's about something else. You know, Brazilian apes is going to be a later episode.
Same article.
Let's go back to the Daily Telegraph published a column on a baseball game between the Houston Stonewalls and the Robert E. Lees of Galveston at the San Jacinto Battleground on April 21st, 1868. Josh, were you aware of this baseball encounter?
Yes, because we talked about this before we did this.
Yeah, we did. Did you know about it before then?
No, I did not.
Me neither.
No, I actually find this fascinating. Horrible names.
They did not translate well in history. April 21, 1868, the heavily laden steamboat White Law left the Houston Landing to the music of a German band. Aboard, heroes of the day, there were the Houston baseball players in their showy uniforms consisting of red caps, white flannel shirts, and black pants. Several veterans of the Battle of San Jacinto were also aboard, and they fought the battle over with no more personal modesty than was absolutely necessary. A barge equipped for dancing was attached to the White Claw. The St. Clair of Galveston beat the Houston boat to the San Jacinto landing by a half hour. Captain Doswell of the Stonewall team and Captain Forrest of the Lees tossed for innings, and the latter won. That would be the Lees. W.J. McKernan of the Empire Baseball Club of St. Louis was the umpire. Jack White was the scorer for the Stonewalls, while Lee W. Hertz acted as the capacity for the Lees. The first nine of Houston's club consisted of Doswell, Paulson, Williamson, Van Patten, Meyer, Robinson, Noble, Stern, and Hogan. The story concluded. We're going to get back to that, but what are you taking away from that?
I had a question. Do we call the managers captains back then?
Yes.
Okay.
Or commodores. Okay. Everybody was a commodore in the Civil War, man.
Are these like vet, all vets?
Yeah,
like...
Yes, everyone was a vet in the Civil. If you were a man running around after the Civil War, you were in the Civil War.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Well, then how are you alive? That's a great question, of which I don't have an answer to.
So who won the game?
Well, spoiler alert, Houston Stonewalls defeat Galveston Robert E. Lees 35-2 in the first recorded baseball game in Houston. Can we go back to the game itself, Josh?
Oh, yes,
please. I mean, we're burying the
lead
here.
That's quite a score.
35-2? Some call that a football game.
Yeah, somebody got a safety.
Somebody got a safety. Maybe it was the punter for the Houston Roughnecks.
Probably.
Ooh, topical reference.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. When you see this guy punt, you'll understand why. The contest now commenced in good earnest, but from the first innings, it was apparent to the most disinterested looker on that the Lees, although the vaunted champions of the state, had at last met more than their match. At the conclusion of the eighth inning, baseball was different then, the Lees, disheartened by the success of their antagonists, gave up the game and acknowledged themselves beaten fairly and squarely.
They gave up?
The runs being counted, it was found that the score stood Stonewall's 34 and Lee's 5. Mr. McKernan, the umpire, then declared the Stonewalls the champions of the state of Texas. It is so unfortunate Dallas didn't have a baseball club then. Three cheers were given to the Lee Club, three for the Stonewall and three for the umpire and scorers, and three for San Jacinto, where the bases were taken up, everything gathered together, and all started for Lynchburg for the ball.
I am reading over your shoulder, David, and I find this next part very interesting.
Oh, Negro baseball?
As they, in the parlance of the times.
Soon after this, the Negroes of Houston announced that they had a baseball club. This notice appeared in the Daily Houston Telegraph on July 14, 1868. Black ballers, There is a baseball club in this city composed of colored boys bearing the aggressive title of Six Shooter Gems. They wish us to state that they will play a match game with any other colored state in colored club in the state.
Do you think they could have beat the Lees or the Stonewalls?
I think we'll never know.
We'll never know, sadly.
Sadly, but that's baseball. Yeah. As soon as you have baseball, baseball becomes more than just a sport of winners and losers. It becomes more than just a game of numbers. It becomes a lot more. It becomes life.
Would you say baseball, from its inception, has always been politicized? I mean, I'm looking at, you know, Stonewalls versus Lees. There's a statement in that.
Well, all right. Let's look at Houston in 1868. Texas got a little lucky in the Civil War, but there was a large backlash in the Confederacy, in the former Confederate states, about what they deemed as Union occupiers. And that sentiment and that angst and that animus would stay around for decades, if not a century. It's 1868. Buddy, we're still in Reconstruction. There are still federal troops planted everywhere in the South for good. I'm not saying any of this is bad. I'm not saying any of this is bad because I agree with everything.
It's for good, but it's not for good.
It's for good, but it's not good for those.
Or permanent.
So Reconstruction is going to end in 72?
Most people would say.
Okay. Or 1880. I'll take either argument. Well, let's say 72. So at this point in Houston, segregation was a reality, but civil rights had already been kind of handled by the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendments. Now we're talking about more of a cultural impact.
Mm-hmm.
Politicized, yes. I would say this is more of a cultural statement, that the two teams, one in Houston, one in Galveston, would name themselves after two Confederate generals. Who oddly were both losers because they lost. But that is Civil War era baseball in Houston.
I do have an interesting stat that might apply to what you're saying.
What you got?
The population of Houston in 1870 is around 9,000 and change. It's up from the 1860 population of 4,800.
Wait, say those numbers again?
Yes, 9,000 and change in 1870,
mm-hmm.
4,800, 1860. So that's an increase of, I can't do math.
It's almost double.
Yeah.
Double the capacity. Almost double the capacity. Where are those people coming from? They're coming from everywhere that's getting destroyed or not getting destroyed, or they're going to Houston for work. Because
going west, young man.
Well, that's another thing. It's weird. I don't want to use any verbal traps, but Texas got kind of lucky in the Civil War. There wasn't really a whole lot going on here. And looking at you, Sabine Pass. More on that later. We should do a Sabine Pass episode.
We will totally do that.
It has nothing to do with Houston history.
We'll make it work.
Well, if you're... Okay, let's do this.
Was there a guy from Houston?
Sure.
Then done.
Was there anyone there that had ever gone through Houston? Stopped off for coffee or maybe say hi to grandma.
Yep.
Then yes.
Counts. I think Nathaniel Green, the American Revolution, knew someone who moved to Houston later on in life.
I know he did.
Yeah, there you go. So we can do a Nathaniel Green three-parter. You promise?
I promise we'll do our best.
All right.
Okay, so we've got the Robert E. Lees, and they trounced Galveston 35-2, 39-5. Records were a bit sketchy and that time, but specifically in the reconstructed South.
Did people keep score back then, like spectators?
I can't imagine they did because it would be brand new. I mean, it would be like the equivalent of us keeping score at a pickleball game. Do they do that?
I don't know. I don't hang out or associate with people who do pickleball.
Okay, down in the comment section, do you keep score at a pickleball game? And how long did that come up? Do you keep score at cornholing?
Actually, you know what? No one who does either of those things can comment.
Okay, well, that's not for all pickleballers. But if you're from Dallas and you're a big pickleballer, you may have problems in this challenge, it's going to say right now.
Oh, we'll take all comers.
But no, I know they were keeping score 20 years after. My knowledge on baseball really starts to get a little stronger when you get into the 20th century. The 19th century.
More documented.
Well, yeah. I mean, no, you've still got baseball. You've got King Kelly in Boston. You've got baseball. But just for me, it's a whole lot easier to start looking up to what led to the end of the dead ball era up to DH. It's kind of
designated kind
of eras. Yeah, 64 was when you introduced the designated hitter in baseball, so it changes things around a bit. But the Buffaloes.
Yes.
The Houston Buffaloes, founded in 1888.
Or the Buffs.
Well, they're going to be more the Buffs. Honestly, that's going to come later on when you start looking at the 50s and 60s.
Are you a Houston Buffalo Buff?
I'm Buff about Buffaloing.
All right.
Well, I'm not very Buff, though. I haven't worked
out
the
news.
No, you're fine, man. they were affiliated with the St. Louis Cardinals at the time in the Texas League. And it was in 59 to 61, they become a AAA club for the affiliate Chicago Cubs. So what that means is, for those that don't know baseball, what have you been listening to for the past 21 minutes? Welcome, friend.
History of Houston.
H-Town, rewind.
All right.
So a AAA franchise is really kind of a feeder organization to bigger clubs, as there is no Major League Baseball club in Houston at the time. The Houston Buffs, until 61, were the affiliate team, the AAA team for the Chicago Cubs, deriving their name from the Buffalo Bayou, clearly. Last home stadium built in 1928. Before that, they played in West End Park from 1905 to 1928 and Herald Park before that, neither of which the three exist anymore. Purchased by the Houston Sports Association. I don't know if you remember mentioning them earlier. In 1961, they will eventually become the Houston Astros that we know today.
And love.
I'm just going to do this because I'm lazy right now. According to, let's see, Writers Program of the Works Project Administration in the state of Texas, 1942, Houston, a History and a Guide. April 11, 1861, baseball team in Houston is organized at a meeting held in the Palmer Building above J. Evans Store. Remember him from the article?
I do.
Simply known as the Houston Baseball Club.
Can I ask you a question?
Why did they play at the San Jacinto Battlefield, and why don't we have more baseball games played at San Jacinto? Josh, I have no answer to that.
I think it's an archaeological...
Anyway. It wasn't in 1860.
Well, it should have been.
They didn't have archaeology then. They did, but not like...
Again.
Archaeology in 1868 was, let's blow it up and see what remains we find. I mean...
And also, just our running theme in these first four episodes.
Have a baseball game everywhere we talk about?
Houston is so unsentimental about its history.
Yeah. Well, you'll notice the uptick in the 100-year anniversary. That's when things got real at the battle site of San Jacinto. I know we're talking about baseball. But it's the... About when Reconstruction ends, about when Wilson gets reelected, and then about when you have the anniversary of Texas independence, that you really start seeing movements for preservation of Texas history.
Mm-hmm.
I just went on a wild tangent. Sorry about that, guys.
But I had a question.
Okay.
We went off on a tangent, as we do. If we were around in 1861, what would we have named the Houston Baseball Club?
The Houston Legless Ones, the Houston's Can't See Out of Both Eyes, the Houston's Lost Your Whole Family, Houston Railroaders.
Man, I was going to go like the Houston Texans or something. You went dark.
Let's go with, no. I'm just going off the Civil War theme that
the war's just started. They haven't.
In 1861, I would say the Houston...
Manifest Destinies.
No, the Houston Baseball Club.
Yeah, you're right.
Houston Baseball Club.
They were right back then. Bruce Campbell picked correctly. But on that note, David...
We both can't pause at the same time. No, man, let's talk about some history of baseball. Let's talk about the dead ball era.
All right, what's the dead ball era?
It was an era of baseball before 1920 where the ball was not nearly wound as tight as it was. Therefore, energy wasn't transferred as well. Therefore, you got no home runs. I know chicks dig the long ball because the commercials told us so. But you don't have Murderer's Inc. You don't have all the home run. You don't have Babe Ruth. You might have Babe Ruth the pitcher, but you don't have Babe Ruth the power hitter until you get out of the dead ball era.
Mm.
But that's Houston baseball. And again, I would like to go back to my initial assessment. When you talk about Houston, you are talking about baseball. I understand that in the summer of 1836, the Allen Brothers get on their landing and things start coming. I just found a glorious map and I bought it on Amazon, so I'm so jazzed about that. And I understand everything about that happened to the area from 1836 to 1845, then 1845 to 1860, 1860 to 1865. But that period of baseball, 1868, 1861 to present, baseball's always been in Houston.
Boy, you better walk right, and you better not squabble, and you better not fight, best proper will arrest you. Hit the boom and take it down. You can bet your bottom dollar.